Grace and peace, and welcome back to another episode of Dare to Dream with Dr. Nicole. I am so excited that we are taking this journey in 2023. One of the most interesting things that has transpired in this year in particular is that I have had to be very reflective about my walk in ministry and even my walk in my vocational mandate from 20 years ago. Although I've been in the securities industries for over 30 years, about 20 years ago, you might have heard my story about being a World Trade Center survivor. Well, what I may not have shared with you is that in its aftermath, one of the things that I knew was going to be important for the remainder of my life was to serve, educate, and empower individuals in the area of my vocation, which is finances. And so I made a decision that I was going to serve both in the church and in the school system. And then I did prison ministry as well. And so sometimes we think that we have a noble thing going on, and the church almost devastated me financially, almost made me want to leave the industry that I love. And I promised myself I would not work with clergy anymore 20 years ago. But how many of you know relationships and friendships are so much more important than a promise that you might make to yourself, an empty promise? Because today I have as an amazing guest, a friend of mine that I met while I was in seminary at New Brunswick Theological Seminary. Dr. Brian Rawls is the one person that can ask, hey, doc, can you do this thing for me in the area of finances? Because he has a passion for whom? He has a passion for pastors, and he leads leaders. And so I want to welcome to Dare to Dream with Dr. Nicole, none other than my very good friend, Dr. Brian Rawls. So excited to have you here today. Hi, Dr. Brian. How are you?
I'm doing swell. Thank you for the invitation.
Well, I got to start off by way of giving your own biography. I didn't want to butcher it because I always lean on the friendship aspect of it, but you are an amazing individual. As much as you have graduated from New Brunswick Theological Seminary, both with your, you know, Masters of Divinity and your doctorate, there's so much more to you. So please tell everyone a little bit about yourself.
Born and raised in the city of Newark, into a singing, preaching family. It is our heritage. All we know is Jesus, 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 church, church, church. And I said when I grew up, Dr. Simpson, when I grow up, I ain't never going to church again. But look at me now. Raised in the Newark public school system, went on to Nyack College, got a bachelor's degree in Bible and social science, went on to get my master in public administration from Bernard Baruch College, School of Public Affairs, CUNY. University of New York. And I'm just glad. I'm glad to be here. I've been pastoring, been preaching, singing, songwriting, musician. I love God's people and I love God's work. And I found myself to be content wherever he leads me.
And so I do want to lean in on that legacy for a moment. The Rawls name carries weight in the state of New Jersey. I just am in awe of, you know, your father and your mother, how amazing they are and how they have raised all of you, you know, and I don't think I know any of you that are not in ministry. So give that biography, your brothers, your, you know, your sisters and, you know, who you come from.
Oh, wow. My mom and dad, they were raised also in the city of Newark. They just celebrated along with us on April 20th, 55 years of marriage. Wow. And they've been in church as long as I've been alive. They joined under Bishop Curtis, the late Curtis D. Gilmore. He passed along the wonderful legacy of ministry to my dad, who had no father in the home. He was a mentor to him. Thanks be to God for that legacy, that it actually prompted all of us and reared all of us in the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and a love for the arts and the worshipful arts of ministry, from singing to songwriting to preaching. We've sung with everybody. Anybody in the gospel world, the classic gospel world you can name, we've been in their company. And even some secular artists like Lou Rawls, Mariah Carey, and many, many others. We've just been blessed to be able to meet and make the acquaintance of so many people that we idolized when we were young. And we never thought that we'd ever be recording with some of these greats, but it is our heritage, it is our profile, and we're glad about it. I got four brothers and one sister. She was the luckiest sister in the world. She had five knucklehead brothers to take care of her. And she's so beautiful. She's a singer herself. She's also a preacher. She preaches at my dad's church, St. Paul Unified Free Will Baptist Church, better known as St. Paul Life Center. It's been there on the corner of 355 Badger Avenue for the last, about 40 years or so. But we've been blessed with that heritage, blessed with that wonderful place. And some other greats, Shirley Caesar. Time fails me to tell of all of the folks that we've been blessed to meet and to even come through those doors. But let me go on with it to say that I have four brothers, Hilton Jr., and he is a pastor. He is the father of little H3, who's a phenom with over a million followers on TikTok. The kid is just a phenom. That's my brother, Hilton Rawls Jr. Then there's me. Then there's my brother, Lauren Rawls. Lauren Rawls is a songwriter, singer, composer par excellent. Okay, he's written for Faith Evans. He's written for St. Paul SOP, Sounds of Praise with Natalie Simmons. He's written for some of, anybody who you can think of, Lauren has written for. He is music. I have my brother Brandon, who's also a great singer and songwriter, prolific singer. Time and words fail me. And my youngest brother, he's when I call him a baby brother. My baby brother, Timothy, Elder Timothy Rawls, is a musician. He's given birth to a son who also plays keys, and his music legacy lives on not only through his own work, but also through his children. And I'm so blessed, right, to be married to the most beautiful girl in the world, Lady Alyssa Rawls. That's my boo thing, my everything. She is three times the lady. And she is mother of my youngest son, Brian Jr., who we just picked up from Colgate University about 4 hours ago. And we're back here right now. I have two other children from previous relationships, Jihad, who's a wonderful creative mind, and my daughter Lindsay, who's also a singer and a mighty, mighty powerful thinker. So I thank God for all of my children and my family. And that is a snapshot, a soundbite of the Rawls family lineage.
And the reason why I wanted you to go through that is because not only do you have leadership that you have always been inspired by, you know, and people that you lead today, everything about you leads other leaders. And everybody doesn't have that breath, that substance in them to be qualified to lead. And so even in your vocation now, you are, is it the Dean of Peers? Demon program. You are a part of really vocationally speaking in the academia world, influencing other pastors and leaders, and qualified to do it both in experience and in expertise. Talk about that.
Well, listen, I can tell you this. While or in as much as I found myself in a community of scholars, I am not a scholar. I aspire to, I'm too hungry to be a scholar.
I'm not going to let you show yourself.
Listen.
You are amazing in it. So yeah, you got to say what you're amazing about, because I know you. So,
when I say that, Doc, I mean, I don't claim to be the top of the heap with anything. I'm a hungry learner. And if I could be labeled anything, it would be a hungry learner. I live as long as I learn, and I'll learn as long as I live. I never want to camp out anywhere. I want to be in flux. You know, I'm not a human being. I'm a human becoming. I'm still in flux, still trying to reach that mark. So I'm amongst some scholars. I do some scholarly things. I'm in the midst of some scholarly people. And in academia, I found a pleasant way to cloak my pastoring. So I pastor in the academy. I lead souls. I try to influence them to Christ and influence and impact their ethic as students to be the best, to strive for the very best, and to never settle for mediocrity. So that's where I am. Leadership is where I'm placed. And I love the concept, the whole track for leadership, and how vast and fascinating it really is, from women in ministry to anybody in ministry, folks who think that they're too unqualified or incapable. I love to see people grow from seedlings and blossom into the leaders that I know and God knows that they can be. So that's where I am. That's all I'm trying to say about. So,
again, very modest, but I appreciate that about you, because that really is, you know, what tells the story about the success and the level of work. One thing that you are doing, and I'm so excited, you know, to sort of see it, is that you have been, you know, spearheading recently the Peers Leadership Group, which is pastors coming together to be fed. And, you know, scripture tells us iron sharpens iron. But you have seen that it cannot just be about scripture standing alone. And so you're embarking on expanding beyond. And to me, I look at the scripture that says, I wish above all things. And I say this with, you know, when John says to Gaius, you know, in his hospitality in the, you know, Christian fellowship, he says, I wish above all things that you would prosper. This was his well wishes for Gaius. And I think sometimes we misinterpret what it is that he's saying. I'm praying this thing for you, but I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. And so sometimes pastors get that soul prosperity aspect of accurate, like we do. We strive to make sure that we're feeding the sheep, but there's a whole person, right? There's this whole person that needs to be dealt with. And you have great opportunity with Peers Leadership to really expose and you know, allow other shepherds to see it's okay to deal with others. And so in this age of the 21st century, why is that so important to you?
Doc, here's the deal. You brought up that passage of scripture and it cut me right to the heart. You know, we are a tripartite. And I hate to sound deep, but we're tripartite. We're spirit, soul, and body. Someone told us in the church that spirit is more important than body.
And everything else.
And that is the most ridiculous thing that I've ever heard. Yes. Why? Because on this planet, on terra firma, on this terrestrial ball, right? A spirit can't spend money. A spirit can't go to the store and buy and barter. A spirit can't do anything without a body. So if you don't have your body right, your spirit is completely ineffective and of no consequence on this planet. So the spirit and the body are equally important. And the mind. They are equally important. And you see, Doc, I'm glad you brought it up. The reason why, or should I say the effects of that kind of thinking, is evident on our health.
Yes.
Which means, listen, we can sing the church down. We can make stellar awards. We can have itineraries full for the remainder of the year. Yet we're still dying from diabetes, anointed and all. We're still dying from lifestyle related diseases, but we can sing and preach you under a table, yes. Right? We don't emphasize even the soul, the mind, you hear me? That mind, the psyche, the psychological, which is why many of us are even killing ourselves, preachers, committing suicide, because we place as a priority and a place to premium on the spiritual and de-emphasize the mind and the body. And you can't work well without that triad. They all have to be in harmony and in good health. And so when you start talking about things that are like finances, and you start talking about things like health, I'm saying, wow, this is how we keep folk from just running out to other religions that emphasize this stuff. This is how, and hear me, it shouldn't be novel, because we should know this. You just quoted right from the Bible that we should be in good health, and prosper even as our souls prosper. We ought to be at the forefront of holistic health. So you got me started here. You're right up the alley now.
And I'm so grateful for it, because here's the thing, right? In the area of finances, which impacts our health, in the area of health, which impacts our finances, we don't have it right. And so how can we collaboratively, you know, begin to address these areas that are associated with the body while we're here on this earth, that we have to give more credence to the need that it has? And I will dare say this, I won't let you endorse it, because I, you know, I'm the shepherd of a church that's isolated, and we thank God we're not isolated, amen, but we stand alone. And so we don't have, you know, the handcuffs. They know how I am. I'm gonna speak the truth, and it's gonna be what it is, because I don't know how to sing. I don't know how to do none of that other stuff. All I do is know how to preach the gospel. And here's the truth of a thing. pastors do not have their financial affairs in order, and neither do they have the capacity to educate others so that everyone can be in good health as their soul is prospering. And we have this misconception about what is priority without creating balance in the area. And so goes the head is the rest of the body. So if the pastor doesn't have the level of intellect without abusing the people, then you will have a sheep that is finding themselves just not capable of thriving the way that the Lord or the word of the Lord intended. And so you're taking focus. You're really honing in on the need to bring in other leaders of expertise, not just in the area of preaching, but to have a level of understanding of a shepherd's mindset when dealing with the people. But you're saying, pastors, get your affairs in order. And I want to talk about that in the 21st century, because we've seen a shift in that direction. You know, we've seen the shifting where they are really trying to expand out. So I had to let go of my, you know, aggravation of 20 years ago, because I said, I'm telling you, Dr. Roth, my friend Brian, I said, I ain't never dealing with no pastors or no preachers. So I said the right one to say, all right, doc, it's time for you to do this again. And what have you. But why was that so important for you to branch out and really deal with the other areas biblically as well?
Let me say this, doc. You know, there are some communities who can afford to just talk about the spiritual stuff. I don't come from that community.
Thank you.
I don't come from that community. I come from a community where people are aching bodily, financially, mentally, relationally, and otherwise. Yep. I cannot afford to simply preach a pie in the sky gospel that ignores the exigencies, the realities of what we're going on, the crises that are all around us today. We can't afford it. I can't preach to you while you're sitting there dying. I have to tend to your temporal needs, your felt needs, your real needs in order to really move you toward the goal of true prosperity in this world. Not prosperity in that crazy, negative, almost monstrous sense, but prosperity in the sense that we are balanced in the spreading of that anointing, that anointing, that blessedness to leak and spill over into every area of our lives. And so, you know, when I had the opportunity to sort of gain the reins of this particular program, Peers, it's a part of Masterworks under the direction of President Dr. David E. Schroeder. And he's kind of left this program into my hands. It's pastors encouraging, equipping, resourcing, and supporting one another, Peers. It's an acronym for Peers. And Dr. Simpson has been an avid supporter. She's always, always somewhere to be found and always offering hearty advice. And I assume the first person I thought of to be able to give us something that will be of a blessing to the community that we serve, I said, I can't sit on this anymore. We can't ignore stuff like this. I said, I got to get the doc to come in and speak to the realities, the securities of having your financial business straight for you to be not only spiritually healthy, but financially healthy. And so that's where we are. I'm so tired of every time someone passes away, we've got to set up a GoFundMe account for them to be buried. GoFundMe is not life insurance.
Yes.
And we use it as though someone greenlighted it from the government and told us this is how we do it. No, 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 no. And then when you have insurance, it's not fun money. It's not celebration money to feed the whole family and feed everybody to come out the woodwork who wants a piece of the money. No, these are things that we need to be educated on. How to use our money, how to spend our money, how to invest our money. And I know that my friend, my sister brings an expertise that is not only knowledgeable and full of information, but also inspirational. How best to have this kind of expertise in the frame of a preacher? Listen, you're gonna get caught on fire and informed. Okay, so that's where we are with that. And I'm looking forward to this one. As a matter of fact, very, very soon, Dr. Simpson will be giving this entire series on finances and financial stewardship and responsibility. She's going to come in her own way, and she's going to light this scene on fire. Hear me. I don't think anybody should miss this. We'll come up with some details about the dates later on, but I just wanted to plug that really quick. We are in for a royal treat.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. I'm excited about doing it because here's the thing that is critical for me. When pastors understand how important financial affairs are, then they themselves will not only lead, but they'll lead by example. Because what is most devastating, and I've been in my industry for 30 years and I've been a preacher for 20 plus, but what's most devastating to me is that when a pastor passes away, unexpectedly, or, you know, even after a long illness, what happens to the surviving spouse? What happens to, you know, the family and the disarray that it leaves in a standard church? And so when a pastor doesn't have their own affairs in order, it's not like a typical family in our community. Mm-hmm. You have an extended family that is impacted as well and suffering the loss. And so if I could, in my thought process when I was younger, because 20 years do make a difference, right? When I was younger, I was like, oh, this was too much. I thought I was gonna go out of business. Pastors bouncing checks. I'm like, oh no, do they do this around here? Mm-hmm. But I'm a little more tolerant and a lot wiser in and more sure in my vocation than I've ever been before. And I recognize that in spite of, they still need the guidance, because it's not just dealing with the shepherd. It's dealing with the shepherd and every individual that they have influence under. And that's why I wanted to end on this particular note, because if no one else knows anything about Dr. Brian Rawls, you are a family man. I love your wife. I live vicariously as, as one can, you know, when I look at how powerful you are and intentional you are as a couple in raising your sons. And, you know, I know you have other children, but I'm talking about BJ very specifically. But the intentionality that your wife brings to the table, the freedom that you have in relationship and the expression of love, that's what the church needs to see. That's what, you know, pastors need, that balance. I wish above all things that, you know, I can almost guarantee you that your wife, God forbid, will be fine, and you will be fine. Like, that's that mindset, because you care about family. And that's the part that I wanted to end on, because if you love your church family, if you love your family by destiny and dynasty, whatever it is that you have born into and created on your own, then you will make sure that you do the right things in this temporal body. How important is your family, your nucleus family was the word that I was going for. How important is your family, and how much planning do you do relative to them in every step that you take, whether it be in ministry, whether it be in vocation, with them at the forefront of your mind?
I can tell you this. The Bible says the man who doesn't take care of his family is worse than an unbeliever, worse than an unfaithful, an infidel is the word that it calls him, a heathen. It's a crime to not take care of your family. I came from a home where my dad was there for me all the time. He was always there. So there that he would tear my tail up right in the middle of a classroom. All right, he was there for me. He didn't play. My mom was always there. And I don't remember a day, and my mother was so much there for us that she would actually take jobs that had her working in the school to be close to us. All I had was the model of parents being there for their children.
See,
you know, and so I knew that I couldn't fall below that. I have two children from previous relationships. So badly did I want to always be in their lives that I fought for custody and got that custody and raised my children, because I believe in that. I didn't want to be a weekend dad. I wanted to show them what I had. And so I tried to imbue in them those values. It was incredible. But who was by my side the entire time? My wife. Even children who were not hers, she stuck by my side and helped me to raise them and rear them and nurture them. So when it came time for her to birth her own child, this lady threw out all the stops. You hear me? My children were just practice. Okay. she got into this thing and went absolutely berserk. She was helicopter mom par excellence. And she would have no less than me go from good to better to best. And every moment, she wants every moment to be a Kodak moment, a picture moment, a climactic moment. She captures every memory. She wanted to make sure that we were always there, present for my kid. Now, if you know anything about me, Doc, I may love people, I may like certain things, but I'm not really involved in a whole lot of things, namely sports. I like sports, but there's certain sports that I love, right? This woman had me coaching basketball. Coaching basketball.
I'm on the field. Football field. The Knicks, if they need help, oh Lord have mercy. But anyway, guys.
She had me doing some of everything. Yeah. And together we learned to be intentional. One thing about her is that she's extremely intentional. And we clicked on that. And so everything we do, we try to plan out months before, make sure that it's not, if you're going to be do anything by accident, it's not raising kids. You do not raise kids by accident. And we realize that if family lacks, you lack. She would always say, and we'd always say, you know, you would see some parents looking sparkling good, good from head to toe. But when you see the children were in tattered shoes and clothes that were just disheveled. And she said, excuse my parlance, if your kid ain't fly, you ain't fly either.
That part.
And so we placed a premium on being involved in our children's life, to be involved in their affairs, to be involved in their school, because again, it bodes wrong. It bodes badly if the whole church is prospering. And you're always going to see them and always in their face and always at the beck and call, and you miss the lives and the events of your children. Hear me. PAL took over my life.
Yes.
Police Athletic League took over my life. Even some Sundays, you found me on that field with my son, because I realized that sometimes staying in church all day is not the answer to raising your kids. It's actually being in their lives and showing them that they're more valuable than anything else on this planet. And so that's where we are. We will, listen, we will drop everything to run up to Hamilton, New York. We will drop everything to take that call from that little boy up there. You hear me? Because we love him. And we believe that everyone, you have the greatest jewels in the world embedded right in your home. They're your children.
They are your children.
And they're an investment that can never, ever be repossessed.
That's right.
And you have to make sure that they are the legacy that you leave. The money is great. The houses and the property is great. And I believe that. Yes. But your children are that living legacy that you definitely have to invest in.
And I think that you have summed up what is so important about daring to dream. Because when we think about legacy, when we think about balance, when we think about what it is that we're charged and tasked to do, shepherds have the influence over the masses to ensure that community can be intentional about the next generation. Mm-hmm. I want people to understand that. Shepherds, the church has that much value, has that much level of authority and influence that we don't need anyone else to help us to get to the place of leaving a legacy when we make the investment into the next generation, i.e. our children. That is the investment that yields the most fruitful dividends for the remainder of your life and for the lives of those to come. Dr. Rawls, this has been so amazing. I am so looking forward to our time together with peers, where we will deal with pastors and shepherds addressing their financial legacies holistically, not only to benefit them and their families, but to lead by example so that they might be okay and their congregations are okay. And when their congregations are okay, our communities are okay. And when our communities are okay, then we have control over our fate and our destiny in this world. And so thank you so very much for being a guest. I'm going to allow you to have the final thoughts here on Dare to Dream.
Jesus wants us to be whole. Dr. Simpson wants us to be whole. Yeah. Be whole. Be whole, not only in church, but let your light so shine before people that they can see your good works, your good living, your good fruit. And from the impressive thing that they see in you, they'll give God all the glory for the things that he's done in your life. be a walking billboard for health, wholeness, and wellness in Jesus' name.
We'll see you again right here on Dare to Dream with Dr. Nicole. If you'd like to be a guest here with me, please do check us out. And you can go right on the website, dfree.com/Dare to Dream. And we would love to have a conversation with you. God bless you until we meet again. Good night.
Securities and investment advisory services are offered through Next Financial Group Incorporated, a member of FINRA SIPC.